Welcome to The Brave Exchange. I'm your host, Lucy Boucher. So here, every week on The Brave Exchange, we have honest chat with change instigators, compelling creators, and interesting humans who are breaking the cycle of convention and redefining success one mission at a time. So join us here every week for new lessons on how to lead a life that matters, how to escalate your life after failure, and how to inject more meaning, connection, and resilience into your life and your business. All right, everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of The Brave Exchange. Today, I'm incredibly excited to have a lovely lady on the call for us. Her name is Connie Chapman. And a lot of you are probably familiar with who Connie is. I'm sure some of you aren't, which is great because today, by the end of today, I'm sure you'll be very, very interested to find out even more about the awesome work that she's doing in the world at the moment. So a little introduction for everyone top line. Connie is a certified coach. She's a mentor. She's an inspirational speaker, and she's also a writer. She has her own podcast called Awaken Radio, which I'm a huge fan of, have listened to for ages. So I can't recommend that highly enough. If you haven't tuned into her amazing podcast, Awaken Radio, jump onto that. And she's the creator of the 90 Day Transformation Project and the founder of ConnieChapman.com. And her teachings, which are amazing and I've also followed personally for quite a long time, are based on soul deep transformation, choosing love over fear, abundance over anxiety, and always tuning into our divine inner wisdom. So Connie, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Lucy. I'm super excited to be here. And as I was saying to you at the start, it's really nice to be on the other end of the podcast. So thank you for inviting me on.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, it is.
You just get so in the swing of always being the one who's asking the questions. And when I was interviewed recently on a podcast, I just kind of like sat back and was like, cool, let's just roll. Let them ask the questions and see what comes. So it is a nice change.
Yeah, and I know that you and I are very much on the same page too. So I feel like this is going to be an awesome conversation for your listeners. I'm really excited to be here.
Yay, me too. All right, hun, so let's get stuck in. Let's just start right at the beginning. Like I said, I'm sure we have people who are somewhat familiar with who you are and your own personal journey, but there are going to be listeners who have never heard of you before. So it's just an awesome opportunity for you to take us like back in time to the beginning, or a beginning that kind of works and makes sense with where you've got to in the world today. And just tell us a little bit about your journey and your story and maybe some significant things, learnings, events that you've come across and worked through to get to doing what you're doing today.
Sure. Well, we're going back quite a while in time. I've been around the self-development traps for a little while now, probably about 15 years, to be honest. Oh. I began really getting into this stuff when I was about 19 years old. And I'm actually excited to share my story a little bit more, because even people who follow me probably don't know a huge amount about my journey. But It really began when I was about 19. I grew up with a mum who was a bit alternative and really into health food stores and self-help books. And, you know, I grew up seeing Chinese doctors and kinesiologists and Reiki. I actually trained in Reiki when I was 14 years old. Mum put me through level one.
Awesome.
Don't know how I'm supposed to use it at age 14, but, you know, she was like, I think this is something you should do. So around 19, I don't exactly remember what the catalyst was, but I think it was a whole concoction of feeling honestly quite depressed, struggling with migraines, a lot of anxiety and low confidence, issues in my relationships, conflict with my parents and my siblings, and just a whole heap of stuff. And mum kind of began to introduce me to some books and just sort of leave them sitting there for me and sort of was like, maybe just have a read of this, Connie, and see what you think. Mm-hmm. And I began to just open up to it. And so I started reading one of the books, which was John DeMartini, Count Your Blessings. That was the first one I began with. And then from there, I just became absolutely addicted. And I devoured her entire bookcase, which was everything from Louise Hay to Deepak Chopra to Wayne Dyer to A Course in Miracles, which is a very in-depth spiritual text. Mm-hmm. I was studying intuition. I was studying yoga. I taught myself yoga. I went to the library on the weekends and I borrowed every book I could find on yoga, and I just spent the weekends reading the books, teaching myself went to naturopaths, and this whole awakening started for me. And it was also when I was about 20 years old, I read my first Anthony Robbins book. And that was a real turning point because it was the first time I realized I was in charge of my life and I was in charge of my mind. And if I thought differently, my life would be different. And I actually had the ability to change my thoughts. You know, this was all brand new for me. I didn't even know that I could control this stuff. And it was when I was reading one of his books that I had this incredible vision of myself doing what Tony Robbins does, which is like standing up on stage and speaking to people. And, you know, I was like a 20-year-old kid. And back in the day, this was 13 years ago, the self-development industry in Australia was not at all accepted. No one was really doing this work here. And all my friends thought I was in a cult. So I kind of parked that dream. I was like, oh, well, this self-help stuff is super cool. I think this is something I'd really like to do with my life, but I'm going to park that dream because, you know, all the usual stuff. I don't think it's possible. I'm not good enough. I'm too young. Everyone's going to think I'm weird. This is just a fantasy and a daydream. So I parked that. Went through my 20s kind of living two lives. So I had, you know, one life which was Connie, the spiritual girl, and I would go to Buddhist retreats and Buddhist workshops and conferences. I went through Tony Robbins's program. I went to every meditation, yoga, self-development program I could find. But then I also, you know, worked in a job and went out partying on the weekends and was very caught up in my peer group and getting external love and external validation. And I was just constantly seeking externally. And so I got to about age 28. That kind of went on for about 8 years. And literally was just at this awful point in my life where everything in my life was not working. Hated my job, hated myself, to be honest. No relationships, just everything. Thing was crap, really bad health, no money, you know, all the usual stuff. And I thought, I've been reading all these books and nothing is changing. I think I need to get some help. And I found a life coach. And this was a lady who was doing her training and she offered me 6 free sessions with her.
Wow.
And within 6 sessions of working with her, everything started to change for me because she actually taught me how to do the work, not just read the books and not just sort of meditate and then go about your day and go and get drunk, but actually show up for my work, right?
Yeah.
Because I was living a double life. And she said to me, why don't you start writing on a blog? Why don't you start telling people a little bit about your story? And I was like, okay, never thought about that. And this was 6 years ago and not many people had blogs. And again, everyone told me I was weird because my diary was on the internet. People are like, who does that? So I started writing this blog and the blog was called A Life of Perfect Days. And it was my journey of living this work and of showing up for my, you know, trying to create the best day ever, despite the fact that I hated my life. And within 6 months, my whole life really radically changed and I started to build up a following of people reading my work. And I was getting emails from people all over the world. I'll never forget one from a 14-year-old girl in Afghanistan emailing me, telling me how much my writing was changing her life. And I started thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I'm onto something here. Maybe I'm kind of good at this. And that vision, that 20-year-old vision kind of started to come back. And I started to think, yeah, I think this is what I'm here to do. And so I went and did my life coach training about a year later and then hit the ground running from there, sort of dove into beginning coaching and my training and building up my business. And that's kind of what's brought me to where I am now. And I guess my biggest, I've sort of explained it, but the biggest thing that I've learned through that is how much self-doubt and fear we experience on the path of following our hearts and on the path of pursuing what we love and on the path of living our purpose. Because there are so many times I wanted to retreat back to my day job and back to comfort and back to societal norms and not being different. And the only way I ever moved forward was standing at those crossroads where it was either like retreat because fear and doubt tells you you can't do it, or push on because your heart is saying to you, you are here for something bigger. And that's been very much the theme of my journey over the past 15 years.
Amazing. I love it. Sorry, but Pumpkin was just agreeing with me. My dog, you probably heard that ferocious barking.
He's like, yes, yes.
He's like, woo, woo, yeah. Just waited until you were done too, which was nice. But so good and so much stuff. I'm just kind of like writing little bits and bobs down that I want to kind of go back to and dive a little bit deeper into. But you know, I think one of the beautiful threads in your story is that you've always, from that young age, you had this inner calling, a sense of what was really true and resonant for you to be pursuing. But like you mentioned, and thank you so much for bringing this up, that on the way to, you know, our true, doing what is true for us, we face so much doubt and resistance. And there's always that temptation to retreat, to move back from what we know is right because of the fear and the limiting beliefs and the conditioning and also societal norms, which is something you brought up quite a few times too. So I'm just so glad that through your journey, you kind of reached a point where it was almost like it's just like the tipping point. It's like, I have retreated on accord of other people's potential judgments and people thinking I'm weird so many times. And now I'm really ready to just embrace who I am, like the authenticity of who I am. So amazing. I love that. That's just beautiful because I think a lot of people struggle with that. And I know I certainly did in moving from my previous work into what I'm doing today as well. So I love that.
And I think just as a side note for people to not ever think that something's gone wrong because you feel doubt or fear. I think you can look at someone online and think they're so confident, but on a daily basis, and you would know this too, you're going to have the option in every moment to retreat, but you then make that choice in each moment to keep going forward. So I don't think you ever reach a point where you're free of that fear. I think it's going to continue coming up.
Definitely. Yeah. And then once you start to trust it, the initial time that you trust it, it's almost like you build up this bank of previous times when you've trusted your intuition and lent into the fear. And it's almost like you just, the next time you go, oh, the last time I did that and I have a little bit more confidence to now trust that again. And even if it's the very first time that you're leaning into and trusting it, just having that pure awareness that every single person deals with that fear and resistance, like you were saying, on a momentary basis is comforting because there's nothing wrong with you. Like you were saying, there's nothing wrong with you. It's perfectly normal. In fact, if you didn't feel any fear and any temptation of retreating, then there'd probably be maybe something wrong with you. Going as far to say that.
Yeah. And I even tell my clients to expect it. I'm like, just almost expect that this is going to be like, when you've gone, as you said, when you've gone through this process enough times, you start to see it. There's a pattern that unfolds here. You know, for me, it's like I start to get a feeling or a desire or something starts to burn or bubble within me. And it's like almost immediately, the minute that I contemplate the idea of acting on it, all the resistance comes up, all the reasons why I can't, all the fears, all the what ifs. And so it's actually almost just something you expect now, that that's part of what happens. And as long as you have your toolkit to know how to handle it, then you can move beyond it. And as you said, you have reference points of success from the past. You know, he agrees with me. You can hear him in the background. He's like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's just having an absolute field day.
So, you know, nothing is just expect that it's going to be the case.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Beautiful. So that was one thing. Now I also really wanted to talk about the work. So you mentioned that you were kind of reading lots of books, amazing books on spirituality and connecting and going deeper, but it didn't really all slide and click into place until you were actually working with someone and doing the work yourself. So what were some of the things that you did, like when you talk about inner work, what were some of the things that you were doing at that time? And was there anything that you remember that was particularly transformative for you?
Yeah, there are a few things. The first thing was having a proper meditation practice. So that became kind of my foundation, in that when we're going on a journey of inner work, the most important thing is that you have that you start to strengthen your connection to a more supportive voice. So we're always going to have the fear and stuff coming in. And when we're not living an empowered life, it's because that fear limiting voice in our mind is completely dominating everything and taking us over. And so my journey of inner work is starting to realize there's another perspective. There's another voice I can tap into. Even sometimes realizing that you have the option or that there is a different thought pattern is in itself profound. Mm. But that was always the foundation of my inner work, was knowing that there was two paths I could go down. And meditation supported me with that, because meditation allows you to strengthen your connection with that loving inner wisdom. And if you don't have that connection, it's very difficult when you're in the midst of fear or in the midst of negativity, it's very difficult to choose something else because you don't yet have a relationship with it. You have a very strong relationship with fear, but not with the other perspective. So meditation became something that I committed to on a daily basis, and it was really important for me to allocate that time each day where I could get really still and quiet in my mind, so you have those space between your thoughts, so you can actually be a little bit more conscious about what's going on in your head, and begin to say, oh, this thought pattern really isn't working for me. Let me get into that still quiet space, let me drop into my heart, and let me really ask myself, is there a different way I could look at this? What would that loving, supportive guidance within me say to me right now? And it wouldn't just be a thought. It would be something I could feel. Like in my meditation, I felt love. I felt a loving presence with me. I felt safe. I felt comforted. So I found meditation really supportive to begin to help me build a stronger faith in love rather than in this fear voice that had been dominating me for my entire life. The other practice that was incredibly important for me was to, when I was really starting to make change, was to only focus on the day, which was why I started a blog called A Life of Perfect Days, because it was simply about focus on today. Focus on today. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. And so I would wake up each day and I would say, what is my intention for today? How do I want to feel today? What is one thing I can do today that will make a radical difference? And it could just be as simple as having my morning smoothie, going for a walk, doing my meditation, writing in my journal. And so I just literally decided to take life one day at a time. That made a massive difference. Another thing that was really cool, which my coach said to me, was because I was the type of person that always wanted to create external change. I thought if I changed my life, I'd be happy. And one time she said to me, Connie, what if you were to stop doing and just focus on being? And I said to her, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Just be. She's like, just be. She's like, stop doing. And I was like, please explain. Like, I don't understand. And so I stopped trying to change things externally and I just started focusing on my state of being. So every day, what's going on within me? How am I feeling? Who am I being right now? Can I just move slowly and presently through my day? And these things sound so small and simple, but they add up over time to accumulate into really huge changes. So if anyone's wanting to create change, I say start really small. Start with some type of meditation or stillness practice. Start with focusing just one day at a time on a couple of intentions that if you practice them that day will make a massive difference. And three, stop focusing on all the stuff externally. Stop doing so much and just begin to become more present and aware of your inner state and on moving more slowly and carefully and presently through your life, slowing down those thoughts, and you'll be able to now make more conscious choices, act less on autopilot, be less reactive, make the more loving choice. Those few things made a radical, radical difference for me.
And, you know, this inner transformation that you're talking about is very much the core and the essence of what you teach and you guide people to do today. And it's, you know, it's so authentic because you've lived through that transformation personally, and you can hear that in the tone of your voice and the energy. And so it's just so nice to have someone to chat with who really gets what it's like to be in that space of striving and always looking for the external success and stuff, and then to have actually made that transition, because it's possible. Like, and you're a living, breathing proof that it is possible. And like you were saying, the work doesn't stop. And what I'd like to kind of dive into now is just the fact that the work doesn't stop, because you're so you're open and very honest about everything that you go through. I love getting your emails in my inbox weekly, because I just know that you're going to show up and tell us the truth about what's going on for you in your life. And that empowers people. It gives us permission to kind of own our own vulnerabilities and know that there's nothing wrong with being honest if we're struggling with something, and that we can always choose to feed the empowering part of ourselves that you were sort of alluding to before, even when we are in the struggle. So what I would love to kind of talk about now is when you kind of fall back into the striving aspect, because you talked recently about in your business, I think there was lots of stuff going on and you just didn't feel like you were in alignment. And you decided at that point to make a pretty big decision to pull back quite significantly. So are you able to just kind of take us back to that period that happened recently in your life and business and tell us about what was happening? How could you, like, what were the warning signs that were evident to you that you knew you had to kind of pull back and reset, and talk to us about that process of reconnecting with the inner abundance in that process?
You know, I honestly think, and I probably will end up talking about this a lot more in the future, this has been one of the most significant turning points that I've gone through in my journey. And you're exactly right. Just because, you know, I've been coaching for 3 years now, I've been running a business for that time. Like I said, I've been immersed in self-work for 15 years. Does not mean that I've arrived, does not mean in any way that I'm some guru or perfect or anything. And that's why I love being so transparent in my work, because I want to completely demystify even what it means to be a coach. You know, being a coach and a teacher is simply about having a commitment to doing the work on a daily basis and being a role model of that, you know, being a role model of that. So, yeah, you know, a few months ago, I think it began kind of for me around February, March. I'd kicked off 2015, like, you know, like a lot of us do, huge goals, big external stuff. This is my year. I'm taking things to the next level, rah, rah, rah. And, you know, I was super excited about it, but I just was working my ass off and pushing. And I stopped at one point, and I remember being on the phone to one of my friends who's a coach, and I said to him, I don't know what's going on. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I'm looking around at my life right now, and I'm running my own business. I'm working with phenomenal people from all around the world. I live in my own apartment in North Bondi. I get to go to the beach and drink green juice and do yoga whenever I want. I'm surrounded by like-minded people. You know, I'm living my dream life. And I said to him, but I'm not happy. I'm just not happy. I'm constantly feeling anxiety. I'm working 24/7. I feel empty, and I'm striving. And it was this really powerful wake-up moment where I was like, no, 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 Connie, this is not okay. Like, you can't do this. And so I really had to sit with myself, and I sat with this for a couple of weeks, and it was so uncomfortable, and there was a lot of tears. But at that point, I decided in myself, I'm so committed to being an authentic teacher that if I'm in this space, I can't teach. I can't do it. I cannot run a business if I'm this person. So I closed my coaching calendar. I completely peeled back my website. I pulled off all my branding and just made it this really simple black and white thing. And I took down a lot of my offerings, and I actually began job hunting. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but I began looking for a job because I was like, you know what? I can't do this business thing if I'm living like this. And it was through that whole kind of process that I had to go through burning up so much of my ego. Like, you understand how humbling it is to reach that point when you have to say to your audience, I'm stepping away because I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm stepping away because I'm not in a space to show up for you. And I might very well be walking away from the thing I've always wanted more than anything. And through that couple of months, I had to go through so much of a process of releasing all my attachments, all of my fears, all of the ego that came from, I'm a life coach. Ooh, look at me. Look at my social media accounts. I'm so amazing. You know, it's all bull crap, really.
Yeah.
And then I really started coming into this conversation of inner abundance, and I began working on a lot in myself, which was really understanding the power of the connection with ourselves, that everything we are seeking can be accessed within us. And I know a lot of people say that, but I became really fascinated about how do we do that? How do we tap into love within us and not need to find it externally?
Mm.
How do I feel full and complete even if something in my world isn't going the way that I want it to? How do I feel abundant even if my bank balance isn't showing the figure that I want? This started to really fascinate me, and I had to go on this real journey in myself of redefining what it meant to be successful or be happy or all of those things. So I moved out of that apartment. Yeah, I stepped away from the business and began job hunting. And such a funny thing happened is as I did that, the original feeling of why I first got into this work, it came back. I found it again.
Mm.
It was like, oh, as I let go of all the stuff on the surface, that's right. I remember I love to coach. I love working with my clients. I love writing. And I started to get pulled back, and I ended up having to come back to my audience and kind of be like, hey, so I'm back.
Yeah.
But I'm back in a bit of a different way. You know, I feel like the energy space I'm in now is very different. And a lot of the, honestly, if I'm going to swear, the bullshit that was going on for me earlier in the year, that's a lot of that's gone now. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's just really show up for what's real here. And it's the love. It's the love of this work. It's not all the other crap that goes along with it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, you've spoken really honestly about pulling back, but like you said, you hadn't revealed that you were looking for jobs.
Thank you
for saying that, because, you know, I'll just echo that, and why not? We'll all just air our dirty laundry on the call. But yeah, like, I go through these periods, my boyfriend knows very well that it's like, I'm just going to be super honest, it's called like dilly gaff, where it's like I do not give a fuck sort of thing, right? You just go through those periods where, like, I'm similar to you. I'm so committed to being authentic and guiding in that, from that space and in that way. And I'm not interested in trying to be something that I'm not, and be a, you know, perfect coach. But we've all got egos, and that creeps in from time to time. And when you are operating from that space, when I am operating from that space, it always comes back to bite me, and it manifests in those dilly gaff situations. And, you know, and I was like, I think I'm just going to go back to PR. I think I'm just going to go back into corporate PR, you know, because it would just be easier. And I was, you know, seriously contemplating that for a period of time as well. And I think there shouldn't be any shame around those, you know, those periods of doubt, because ultimately they're coming up with a really powerful lesson. And it's obviously the case for you. All that stuff came up for you so that you could see the attachments for what they were and have them almost pulled away from you, in a sense, to realize how much they don't actually mean to you. I just think that's so amazing that you can just open that up and share it with us, because there's a lot of coaches listening. There's a lot of people that work for themselves. And when we do work for ourselves, we deal with a lot of this stuff day in and day out.
And I always say to my clients, because I coach a lot of coaches as well, I say being a coach and a business owner is one of the biggest personal development journeys you can ever possibly go on. Like, do not underestimate.
Yeah.
Do not underestimate. And this bothers me a little bit sometimes about our industry, because I think our industry can be really glamorized. Yeah. And I think a lot of people I know look at social media accounts and think that being a coach is so amazing because you just work from your laptop anywhere around the world and sip on juice and you have the best life ever. And I'm like, man, if you could see what goes on behind the scenes, not only work-wise, but in yourself as a person, the daily work you have to do to show up as a teacher of this work. And if you're not doing your daily work, I'm going to be really honest, you should not be a coach. Like, please, I can't deal with some of the stuff that's going on in this industry at the moment. But, you know, and we will be challenged. Like, I got smacked down. I really did. Mm-hmm. And we will get smacked down if we are trying to come off as a teacher, but we're not doing our work. It's not going to work. Right. So, you know, just again, to be really honest, I recently had an issue with someone completely stealing my work. And she had, I'm not going to name names or anything, but she had stolen like about 15 of my blog posts and posted them on her website, and had also stolen about 3 of my offerings and been selling them as her own. Oh, and when I emailed her,
it's
about
like, is that a compliment or how do you take that?
When I emailed her about it, she was very honest. She said, I'm really sorry. You know, to be honest, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my message was. I didn't know I didn't have my own voice, and I admired you. And I said to her, I got really fired up. I said to her, one, if you don't yet know your message, if you don't yet have a voice, you should not be teaching. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't. Yeah. And two, do not devalue yourself enough, I mean, that much, to the extent that you don't think you have anything valuable to say. Of course you do. But I think I don't know what tangent I'm going on here. I'm sorry. I'm just on a bit of a rant.
Just go for it. It's great.
I just think that, you know, I got caught up in it, looking at what other people are doing and thinking, oh, I'm in year 3 of business. I should be going to the next level. I should be doing this. But did I stop and say, Connie, is that truly right for you? Is that truly right for you? And what's your unique message? What's your gift? Who are you? What is your business? But we look so much externally, and I think we've got a whole heap of coaches out in the world who aren't very authentic. And if any of them are listening, like, get honest with yourself and make sure you're really showing up for your work. That's all I have to say.
Totally. Woohoo! I love it. Seriously.
Sorry, I'm getting fired up.
But I know. No, but it's coming all from a place of so much love and respect for the work that you do, and for genuinely wanting to help other people and empower people, right? And so no wonder we get fired up, and you are getting fired up about something that you're so incredibly passionate about, and something that is kind of feeling icky and just not sitting right. It's like, what did Marianne Williamson say when I went and watched her recently? She said, if you're not outraged, your love isn't deep enough.
Oh
God, how good is that?
I was at that event. I didn't see you there.
Well, I was in Melbourne.
Oh, you're in Melbourne, right?
Yeah. So I was at the Melbourne one. Did she say anything like that at your event? Because she got very fired up, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
See, this, yeah, because I have the tendency to get really fired up, and I often sort of judge myself a bit for it. But Marianne, whoa, she gets fired up. And I was like, yes.
And I love that. I seriously love that. And another one, because they just like roll through my head now, so I can just like drop them. But she said, there's nothing holy about complacency, which was another thing, you know, talking about, because she was kind of on a bit of a rant, which I wholly respected, about the fact that, you know, in the spiritual world, we often think about, it'll protect my energy, and like, I'm not gonna look at the political environment and the social inequalities and injustices. I'm just gonna like internalize my energy and keep everything flowing in my little insular world. And she was like, there ain't nothing holy about complacency. And like, the people who are sitting back and doing nothing, it's almost the worst of two evils, because you're allowing the evil to occur. You're allowing the status quo to stay as it is, and it's just not right. And that just like really fired up the kind of social activist in me, and I was like, yes. You know, but it's so true. Like, these little things creep into different industries, and we have to call them out. I think when they're there, we have to call them out. So I'm really glad that you did, and that you hold yourself to that account every single day. So you're not sitting on your soapbox and just preaching, you're doing that work every day.
You have to.
Yeah.
And you know, this is what this girl said to me as well, that because she didn't really, you know who she was using other people's content. And I said to her, when I don't know who I am, I don't post on my blog. I step away and I go inside myself. Like, I posted a post earlier in the year, which I've never received so much feedback for, which was a bit of a behind the scenes, why people haven't heard much from me. And and it was this real insight into how much I struggle to do my own work as well as supporting other people.
Yes.
And gosh, the my inbox was just flooded with emails from people reaching out to me about that. And it really did show me, you know, as we've just explored now, the minute that you open up and get real, you give permission to other for other people to feel safe to do the same thing. Yeah. And people really emailed me and opened up how much they could relate to what I shared. And I also just felt to say about what we were talking about then is this level of passion, for example, that's coming through in our conversation now. Again, I could be controversial saying this, but I was like, I'm like, if you don't feel this level of passion for what you're doing, don't do it. Like, this work in particular requires a burning fire within you to be able to pull you beyond fear and resistance and ego. And I know there are a lot of people who feel this, but it can be very easy to disconnect from the fire. And I just want to say to people, make sure you are really, really connected to that inner fire and that big why behind what you're doing, because the minute you lose that, you're going to be swept up in the external stuff and things are going to stop working.
Yeah. Amen. I agree. Yeah. So can we just talk a little bit about something you've brought up a couple times, touched on it, and it's like my hot button, the whole idea about our voice and how we find our voice, how we connect with it. Can we explore, because someone's pinched your work, right? That is, I feel sorry for that person. And for you, it just, it must be a very strange thing to have happened, obviously, as you were sort of saying. But I mean, personally, for you, what's it been like finding your own voice and your message? Because you sort of said, you know, you don't write on your blog when you don't know who you are. And having us, it's so, it just, it's amazing, because who you are and the way that you just put it then, it's not static, it's dynamic, isn't it? And it is constantly tuning in. And who am I now? Who am I in this moment? And that was something I grappled with in my writing, because I thought, okay, well, what's my voice? And I saw my voice as this static thing that I had to always fulfill. And that was the container that I put myself in. And my writing wasn't working because it was contrived in that way. So it was an unraveling process for me, and a huge, big growth journey for me to connect with this voice. And that's a lot of the work that I do in the world now, helping people to find their voice. And so I'm so interested in how people like yourself, who have a very developed, authentic sense of self and your voice, writing voice, speaking voice, teaching voice. So yeah, can you unpack that a little bit for us? I'm really curious.
Gosh, that is it's such a fascinating thing, because probably this is one of my biggest lessons still, is finding my voice. And it's really tough. And gosh, where do we even begin with it? You know,
well, this is half my thing, because like I am, you know, I'm helping people to do it, but it's not just a small little topic, right? So there's so many different layers and angles. So just unpack it however you wish, because trust me, I've been unpacking this stuff for like a year, and I'm still sifting through the different layers of what it all means and how to get to some, you know, succinct level of understanding about it, because it is very layered.
Well, I guess if we begin with the idea that your true voice is, I feel like when we speak our truth and when we find our authentic voice, we're not speaking from our head. We're speaking from somewhere deep within us. And if you've ever experienced the feeling of finding your voice, it is this feeling, and the only way I can explain it is, it's like I feel like the words are forming almost like sort of from my belly, like from this deep space within me. Mm-hmm. I'm not speaking from knowledge or intellect. I'm speaking from feeling. And I think that is the foundation of your voice, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why you and I both run podcasts that aren't planned, because mm-hmm. the only way to speak your true voice is from the unknown, is from the unplanned, is yeah. like what you said, it can't be contrived and put in a box. It has to be completely free. Yeah. So for me, when I feel the most authentic speaking my voice is when I am right now. I'm in the moment, in the flow, tuned into my body, just letting the words form as I'm speaking, you know, yep. not trying to make sense, not trying to be anything. So that's a practice in itself that requires a big self-connection. It requires the ability to get out of your head and into your body. It requires the ability to be present to what you feel and feel safe enough to just trust what you feel mm-hmm. and express that. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, and that's children in a nutshell, right? And I think you in one of our emails touched on a podcast that I did about the fear of being seen, and this ties into this
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
So then we start off as children very freely expressed, very tuned in and just expressing. And then throughout our childhood or teenage experiences, we will have moments where maybe we're criticized or judged or laughed at or punished for that expression. And as a result, that will cause a lot of us to shut down. And you would know through coaching and any person who's a coach that you will be able to discover those moments in a person where they started to shut down, yeah. where they started to let fear block their self-expression, where they learned that you can't be loud and bubbly, you have to be quiet and polite, whatever it is. So I learned that a couple of times as a kid. I learned it through my sister being very sick. My parents didn't have time for me when I was loud and bubbly, but when I went by my sister's side and I took care of her, they praised me. They're like, Connie, you're such a good girl. Mm. So I learned mum and dad love me when I'm quiet and polite and well-behaved, but they ignore me when I'm just being myself. So notice how you form a belief system there that blocks your self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 15, I went from a public school that was very creative and I was very alternative to a private school where I had to wear a uniform, and I stopped speaking for 6 months. I turned myself into a mute, which is bizarre for me.
Oh, wow. How old were you?
I was 15.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I went into this school and everyone just judged me. No one mm-hmm. understood me, and I shut down completely.
Yeah.
So since then, it's been a journey of refinding my voice. And part of that has been through creative expression. So allowing myself platforms to write and to paint and to dance and to speak, and doing that just for myself, just yeah. for fun. And allowing myself to feel safe doing that. And then it kind of went into it's trial and error.
Yeah.
So I write blog posts and then I'll post it and then I'll read it back and I'll be like, that was a bit heady. That kind of came from my head. Or I'll record a video and I'll watch it back and I'll be like, I think I was trying to be too zen in that video. Like I can see where I'm
yeah.
where, trying to be something or trying to do something. So yeah. it's trial and error. And then I notice when I do my podcast, I listen back and I'm like, no, that's me. I can hear that.
Yeah.
So for people, you've just got to have the courage to practice using your voice
mm-hmm.
and you'll find what feels right and what doesn't. But it's a journey of self-acceptance. It's a journey of self-love, because you have to love and accept yourself enough that you don't give a shit what anyone else thinks
yeah.
and whether or not it's what other people want to hear or whether or not people like it. That takes time and that takes courage.
Yeah.
And it's a journey of getting to know yourself, of reflecting on, you know, what am I most passionate speaking about? Where are the areas where I do shut down my voice? Where are the areas where I feel most free in my voice? How can I strengthen my voice? Do I want to sing? Do I want to go do acting classes? Do I want to practice? You know, like people always say to me, Connie, you're so good on video. You're so good on your video blogs. How did you get so good? And I said, well, I used to do video journals. So I would pull up my laptop mm-hmm. and I would record a video to myself as a journal. I did that for 2 years before I ever made those videos public.
Mm.
So I had a lot of practice.
Yeah.
You just got to practice using it, and then you'll start to feel where it really lands and it feels like you.
Absolutely. I love all of that. So much gold in what you just said, and I just have to echo it because it, mm-hmm. it definitely triggered certain experiences that I've had that are similar to yours. The first one that comes to mind is a client recently was sort of wanting to develop her skill as a speaker, and she's sort of saying, you know, Lucy, how can I come across as more confident in my speaking, because she's developing a fantastic blogging course and doing video for her participants. And I sort of saying, you know, it's interesting because you want to come across and have the perfect thing to say, and you want it to all sound succinct and articulate and wonderful, of course, but most importantly, it's the energy that you bring to what you say. And in fact, there's a guy, I don't know if you know Lawrence Tam, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, but he's one of the founders of The Wellness Couch, and he has Inside the Champion's Mind is one of his podcasts. Anyway, he was actually the very first guy I had on the podcast, and he self-confessed Chinglish. So it's kind of a mixture of like Chinese and English, and, you know, his grammar's not always perfectly formed. But the thing is, he's one of the most compelling and interesting and resonant speakers I've ever heard because of the energy and the passion that he brings to what he's saying. And it really is, it's so authentic that you don't even care about the peripheral stuff about whether that sentence was formed perfectly. And so that, I think, is just, it gives people the freedom to release the need to be perfect and just speak from that place of truth within you. And I think you gave people some really wonderful ways to be able to discern whether you are speaking from truth or you're not speaking from truth. And it is a feeling that you have, and you know it. Like the feeling does not lie if you're out of your truth. And recently I actually found I was in a bit of a muddle because I had lost my voice as a yoga teacher, which is kind of, I teach this stuff, and it's ironic, but it's probably no coincidence rather that I sort of fell out of this connection with my voice. And just to give people a bit of an understanding about what happened and how that manifested for me, it was like I was going into my yoga space and the energy was just kind of thick and heavy, and everything I said, it didn't matter how many perfect quotes I threw out to them. It didn't matter how much I lifted the tone of my voice. It's like what I was saying, I had planned what I was going to say. And because I'd lost my confidence, I reacted to that by over planning my classes. So I would sort of like almost have this little script that I could just fall back on to. It was like my safety net if things weren't working. But in fact, that's what was keeping me stuck, because I didn't have to just stand in my power, in my authenticness, and just speak from that place. So I was telling a girlfriend about how I was going through this, and I just decided, I'm like, right, like you were sort of saying with the courage piece as well, it takes courage to share your own voice. I thought, right, for the next week, I'm not planning any of my classes. I'm going in cold, and I'm just going to sit there and make myself speak from my heart. And it just changed. Everything changed. Like my students were connecting again. The energy was lifted. Class sizes started to double. And I think just to come full circle, Connie, it just takes us back to, it's always within us. We change from within, and then we see the outer start to shift once we're shifted from the inside, or once we're starting to make that shift from the inside out. So just like you, I'm on this constant journey of like losing my voice, finding it, losing it, finding, you know? So yeah, it's just fascinating. I love
it. No, that's exactly it. It's exactly it. And it's such a, you know, the finding the voice is just one aspect of this connection, disconnection that we go through constantly. And it manifests in all these different ways, whether you're caught up in external striving, or whether you're comparing yourself, or whether you've lost your voice, or whether you've lost your passion, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all the journey is. I remember when I saw Gabrielle Bernstein speak, one of the most profound things that I heard her say out of the whole day was that it's not whether or not you fall out of connection, but it's how fast you come back. And I think people would find over their journeys is that you're always going to fall out of your connection. You know, you're going to get caught up in your head, or you're going to get caught up in fear or whatever.
Yeah.
But you'll find the more you do this work, the faster you come back. You know, when I was starting my journey, I could be lost in fear for a week, just drowning in negativity. Mm. Now, and I'll be really honest, and this doesn't in any way make me better than anybody else, but sometimes it's like 30 seconds. Mm. Sometimes it's like half an hour, and I can clear something so damn fast because I've gone through it that many times. So we're constantly going to disconnect.
Yes.
And our work is just to come back faster and faster every time.
Mm. Oh God, it's so true. It's that, it's just this level of fitness, mental, yep. emotional, spirituality. It's the same as physical fitness. If you think about it, it's like when you first start training, if you're doing interval training, for instance, you're going to run the first sprint and you're going to take so long to recover and get back into the groove and into that state where you're ready to go again physiologically. Mm. But when you build the fitness and the capacity, lung capacity, cardio, all that kind of stuff, then suddenly it's like you only need a little break at the end once you're exhausted and you can quickly come back and get into the flow again. It's exactly the same with this stuff. And I experience absolutely the same thing, and it really is almost like a rite of passage. It's like you got to go through the crap and the time where it takes a long time to reconnect, to then work up to the time where it gets a little bit quicker, a little bit easier, a little bit more familiar and manageable, and that will so start to happen, which is really exciting.
Exactly. And that's it. That's the work.
That's the work. Summed up. We're done. Awesome.
That's all I'm gonna say. World peace done.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I love that so much. Look, I mean, Connie, this has just been fantastic. It's been so honest, and yeah, I just love having these conversations where we just throw, you know, the pre-planned questions out the door and just, you know, like we were kind of all like we were talking about on the call, just go straight into the crux and the truth about what needs to be talked about today. So thank you so much for your generous wisdom and your honesty. I know that this has helped me. I kind of feel like I've just had a therapy session. So I'm sure for everyone listening, I'm hoping for everyone listening, they'll have a similar experience as well. So Connie, thank you so much again, beautiful.
Oh, this has been so awesome. I'm just sitting back in my chair. I could keep going all day with you. Like, I just feel like you and I, we could just sit here for like hours, just like chat about life.
Yeah, I know. We actually could. That's the thing. We could. I'm sorry about Pumpkin as well at the start of the call, everyone. My dog, I was just kind of like ignoring that because hoping that if I just didn't give her any attention, then she would just be quiet. But anyway, hopefully people can still hear what we were saying at the start. Han, well, whilst I've got you here, perhaps – And since we're in no real rush to kind of get off the call, I mean, maybe I will ask you one more thing.
Okay.
So for someone who is, you know, perhaps finding themselves in this place that we've spoken both about being in on the call today, in this place of feeling disconnected from their selves, you know, feeling like perhaps they've lost their voice or this disconnection might have manifested in a myriad of different ways. What would you suggest would be the first couple of things to focus on, like really practically, that they can dig their kind of claws into and focus their energy on to help just get back on track or get up, lifted out of that rut and find some of that connection, get that lift and that enthusiasm back?
Well, people probably won't like the first thing that I'm going to say, and a lot of my clients don't like what I say, which is sit with the discomfort first, right? So when we're disconnected, and I actually see this happen a lot, very often what is happening is that there's some type of truth rising within us. There's some type of message. Mm. And whenever we start to get busy or disconnected or we get caught up externally, it's usually there's a part of us that's running and that's trying to avoid something.
Yeah.
And so before you can kind of just get uplifted, you actually have to get really honest. And people don't like it when I say this, right? But this is what you have to do. I say, sit still and sit with yourself for a minute. And I had to do this when I went through my funny moment. And I was just like, turn off the computer, turn off the phone. Like, I literally closed the doors, sit on your yoga mat, light a candle and sit with yourself and get really honest. What's going on right now?
It's like you're having an intervention with your unconscious self.
Yeah, you have to. Mm. You have to. And you have to start to inquire within, because as we're saying, all change starts within. So you can't skip the inner stuff. And I did this with my journal, and it starts off maybe just like, what's going on in my body? Is there a knot in my tummy? Is my heart racing? Do I feel heavy? You know, what am I feeling right now? What's going through my head right now? What's bothering me? Just some self-inquiry, just mm-hmm. to start to unpack what is going on here. And from there, what I often do with people is, once you start to really see what's not working, you then want to start to focus on, well, what's the shift here that I want to experience? And that's where I took myself from. Okay, so this isn't working. Work feels like this. Business feels like this. I'm striving. I feel anxious, da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, what do I want to experience instead? And I was like, well, I want to feel really light and free, and I want to feel alive again and passionate. And I started to put my attention on what I did want to experience. And that already starts to pull you out. So when anyone's stuck in a rut, it's because you're focusing on what you don't like, on what's not working, and you're focusing on where you are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we need to start to shift our mind to, where do you want to be instead? What do you want to see happening? How do you want to feel? What's the change you want to create here? Mm-hmm. So start to put your attention on that, and you'll notice already your energy starts to shift a little.
Yeah.
And then from there, I go super practical, and I'm like, okay, well, what can I do right now? What can I start to do that is going to support me with this? Yeah. Okay, got to get back to yoga class. Oh, I think it's that I'm really toxic. I've got to put myself on a little cleanse. Do you know what? I just need to sleep more. I need to move my body more. I need to dance and have some fun. Mm-hmm. Or I need to connect with my soul sisters because I haven't been having enough deep conversations, or whatever. And then you just start to write out everything that you know that's going to bring you back. And I always say to people, you've got to have a toolkit of stuff that reconnects you. Mm. And for me, it's everything from being by the beach, getting my feet in the grass, going for a run, going for a walk, yoga class, meditation, a hot bath, a cup of tea, a chat to my mom, sleep, you know, sex, you know, whatever yeah. it is, right, that gets your energy back in a good space. Mm-hmm. My essential oils, my books, podcasts, music. And so you have this whole toolkit, and you just draw on different ones when you need them, and you use them to help bring you out. But I think before you try to shift out, you've first got to stop and get really honest about what's creating the ickiness in the first place.
Yeah. I love it. I really do. And it's, you just, when you sit with that discomfort, it's almost like, I'm just doing this one time so I can feel it all. And it's like, kind of give yourself that little bit of bait, you know, so it's, I'm just going to feel it this one time perhaps. And then, like you were saying, once you've really felt it, kind of opening up to the possibility of learning and listening to the signals of what that might be communicating to you, and then from there start to lift your energy up by just focusing on the simple stuff that can get you feeling better and the shift that you'd like to have and make. I love exactly. that. It's just a perfect like three-step process. But I think the important thing is, when we're in the crap, it's hard to make an empowering choice. So if we've already got an idea of how we're going to react and what we're going to do prior to that occurring, like you just provided to us, then we're able to manage it and come back out, rebound quicker. So it doesn't matter if we fall in, because now we can come back out quicker. So that's awesome. I really love that. Like yesterday, I was sort of going through a bit of a rut, Monday morning rut, and just having a bit of an overwhelm, anxiety situation. And I just wrote, just take the first step. And I just popped that on a piece of paper and just stuck it on my wall in front of me. And just that one little mantra just helped loosen all the anxiety. I'm like, just take the first step. So I did. I just sat there and just did one thing. And all of a sudden there was that shift, that big shift with just one tiny little step. So, yeah.
And look, and for me personally, I find self-care really important. I mean, I had a funny day yesterday too. There might have been stuff going on energetically, and I was really anxious at work. So I left early, and I came home and I burnt some essential oil. I took off my shoes so my feet were on the ground. I made a big pot of soup, you know, just getting my hands into chopping up some veggies, played some relaxing music, did half an hour of meditation, and I was a completely different woman. Like,
yes.
Whereas I could have just pushed on through work, but I stopped and I said, Connie, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm an anxious mess. And it's like, babe, go home, sort this out, you know? And so I did it. And that, you know, all it took was half an hour of self-care at home, and I was a completely different person.
Yeah, Amen. And I agree. And I think one of the most important lessons that I've had to learn in this self-care thing is to really own the moment that you're in the self-care. Because I used to go, oh, well, all right, I probably need a massage. I think I remember reading that book and it said, you know, if you feel bad and like you're in that lack mentality, you know, go and get a massage. And I'd lie there and I'd be feeling guilty about all the things I wasn't doing, you know. So I've just been like, Lucy, own this moment. You have made this decision. This is exactly what you need. Like, enjoy the pampering. Enjoy the fact that you've decided to take the afternoon off. It's so important. The self-care is really, really vital. So thank you for bringing that up too. All right, hun. Well, we can finally drag ourselves away now. I just premature ending before, but just a really yeah, I know, an encore. Cool. So yes, again, thank you, my dear. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. So just for everyone listening, where's the best place to find more about from Comic Connie? That didn't make any sense, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Speaking your truth, it's not meant to be. Yeah. Come over to my website, which is conniechapman.com. And look, to be honest, I'm still going through my own process at the moment. So yeah. I share on that blog, I share videos, I share podcasts, I share content, you know, when I truly feel to share it. I join my mailing list as well, because I share very different things on my mailing list. I know some people sometimes just share links to their blog posts, but I try to write more personal notes to my email community. So if you enjoy the behind the scenes stuff, come and join my email list. And I'm not sure when this podcast will go live, but I have another round of my 90-day transformation project starting on August 17th.
It'll be live before then. So beautiful. Great. Yep.
And that's a really awesome 3-month journey that I take people on into the journey of inner work. And it's not heavy and scary. It's actually a really profound and empowering space that I've now guided over 200 people from around the world through that program. And I absolutely love it. So if you're interested, click over to my website and you can find out more about that too.
Beautiful. That sounds amazing. And I just have to say, with your beautiful newsletter, you know, you put so much, it's so personalized, and what you share with your tribe, and it really is like the bare bones of what Connie's going through and the shifts that you're making. And it's just so honest. And yeah, you're right. It's not just your blog posts. It's not just sharing links and promoting your stuff. It really is like a true love letter that is really uplifting. So I encourage everyone to jump onto Connie's list because it's just
thank you.
Awesome. No, you're welcome. All right, hun. Well, thank you so much. And everyone, thank you very much for listening again. And we'll wrap the show up with that.